This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Bisexual, bisexuality, the best of both worlds, triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
This is Joy 94.9. You are on Triple Bypass for another Tuesday evening, and thank you to Urban Dreaming for another brilliant show and such interesting conversations. That was Chicks and Dicks by Junior Senior. I'm your gorgeous host tonight, and I'm joined by my gorgeous co-host. I'm Anthony.
I'm Ruby.
And I'm James.
Aren't we all gorgeous?
It's the first time the three of us have been together on the radio for weeks and weeks.
I think it's been about a month, yeah.
It's been nice to be together again, the actual Triple Bypass.
The Triple Bypass team, we're here ready to do some slicing and dicing.
We are going to do some slicing and dicing. We're going to talk about some very interesting things tonight, some hurtful things, I think, in many ways, and things that I guess are very connected and very important to our community.
Yeah, I think what we're going to start on, of course, is today is the United States, and so therefore for us it is the 1 year anniversary of the Pulse massacre in Orlando. And I think it is really important that we do talk about that and mention that that is a thing that happened. That was, I think, one of the greatest tragic events that has happened to the LGBTI community in my 27 years, almost 27 years of lived experience, which I suppose was telling because I think it was the first major event in the English-speaking Western world, to make it clear, in the last 30 years.
Right, and it happened during Pride Month.
Yeah.
Which made it sort of hit, I mean, it hit a sore spot even more. I mean, it was tragic in so many ways, but it was a month where we would expect at least that 1 month of the year that we would be able to freely walk the streets, wear our rainbow ribbons proudly, and go out and celebrate and have our allies and friends join us.
It was something that I think shook the community in ways that it hadn't felt for a long time. I think there was a lot of, even you know, on the other side of the world, here in Australia, there was the understanding that if that had happened at any venue in Melbourne or Sydney, we'd have all known somebody.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we are a small-knit community, and that, I think that was part of the tragedy of it, that knowing that I didn't know anyone who died, but I still would have considered them family if I'd met them. Yeah. I might not have got on with them. You know, we might have, like, you know, liked different things or gone from different football teams, but they would have still have been someone I would have had an interesting connection with by the fact that we would have been celebrating Pride.
And I think part of it as well is that for me, like, I'm a bit older, and I've been watching the way that the queer community has progressed over decades. And I think that, well, for me personally, maybe this isn't a sort of a widespread thing, but I felt like there was a real sense of progress that's been going on for years and years. Like, you know, we've had big forward steps, we've had some setbacks. For the most part, though, you know, the queer community has been taking steps ahead, sometimes big steps, sometimes little steps.
It's been the fastest civil progression in rights in history.
Yeah, and I think for me, it just felt like such a blow, like an incredibly powerful blow against the community. It was like there've been horrible homophobic politicians and stuff like that, but it just seemed like the biggest blow against the community that I can remember.
Well, I think that it was definitely the biggest one that I've lived through. And I think that was a part of it. It was kind of that remembrance that, you know, the first Pride parade was a riot. It wasn't a parade, and that our community is actually built on fighting. And this is exactly the kind of thing that we have been fighting about. And for me, that has never been part of my lived experience. I've been dealing with, you know, living in a country that, you know, it is not illegal for me to date a woman in the street. I can't marry her. But if someone sees us, like someone sees me and a female partner together and bashes us up, chances are the police will do their job.
Yeah.
And that's the point, isn't it? That we live in sort of increasing and widespread queer phobia, and we nothing against our allies and people who want to join us and hold our hands and support us and love us, but you know the sort of support we need to challenge this sort of stuff really is about active support, isn't it?
Yeah,
totally. It's acceptance and embracing rather than simple tolerance.
It's getting feet on the street, which is what we've been having to do a lot more. And I think in Australia there's just been this kind of acceptance that we just haven't gotten anywhere, and that seems to have become the norm. And we're seeing a pushback against a lot of the efforts that has happened through progressivism, not just for LGBTI rights, but that is a big part of it. We're seeing it challenged on a number of fronts in a number of different countries where we'd first thought we'd actually achieve things that were set. And I think it's times like this where it's important to remember that there's always blowbacks. You know, Oscar Wilde was a darling and he died in hard labour for being a gay man.
Yeah.
So that change happened within 10 years. And we can, you know, and so when that start, when so when the pendulum starts to swing back, if we just sit there and let it, it will swing back. And if in Australia, if we just sit and wait for things to happen without demanding them and saying we deserve better, we do not deserve to be treated like this, it will not change.
And the frustrating thing is that it's just not what so many people want to hear, because it's so tiring. Tiring to just have to push all the time. And I'm saying that as somebody who, for the most part, belongs to a very large overlapping set of privileged circles, you know, and I recognize that the ways in which I lack privilege are very, very small, relatively speaking, but it's still just so wearing to just have to fight and work so long.
It is. But the other thing is, and I went to the rally started at the State Library on Sunday, there was a moment where I did feel like there were a few other options for me to sort of entertain my day on the Sunday. And then I thought, well, you know, a few moments of sort of perhaps inconvenience, although that's not how I experienced the day at all, but, you know, where I could sort of have to sort of commit to something like that so that I can participate in something that's really meaningful. I'll tell you what, it was energizing. It was, and you know what, the numbers were disappointing, I'm going to say that, but it was energizing. It was, you know, once you start yelling out in numbers, and we got to the corner of Swanson and Burke, and with chalk we graffitied the shit out of the road and wrote anything we wanted to, and the messages were all about love. There was nothing hostile about it. It was beautiful. And then we marched back down Swanson Street and we were yelling all sorts of things out and chanting together. There was something, you know, you talk about sort of, you know, fatigue. There was something sort of reinvigorating about that experience.
I think one of the things that did come out of the Pulse massacre was that there was people came together in a lot of different countries, I think. And obviously, you know, the circumstances that happened were horrendous, but there was, again, that sense of rallying, and the older generation of LGBTI people were saying, this is what we've been trying to keep you safe from, but this is what you have to know how to handle. And younger people having to come to the realization that despite living in, you know, what is considered to be a developed country, I say that with understanding that that is very colonialist, you know, these things don't just happen without fighting, and that they will be fighting back. And that, you know, if we don't march, if we just kind of sit back and say, well, what we've got is fine, it can still be taken. And I think it is disappointing that there aren't enough people at the march, you know, and I think people will be like, oh, but there's a march every few months. Yes. And there is a march every few months because it hasn't happened.
Right.
this isn't like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You don't get it locked in and you can't possibly lose it when you hit certain thresholds.
Totally. And I hear a lot of people say, oh, but it's going to happen eventually. And they're talking about, you know, 3 or 5 years. Mm. And it's just like people were saying that 5 years ago and they'll keep saying it. And as long as it's going to happen tomorrow, the thing about tomorrow is you never reach it.
Mm. The good fight still needs to be fought. You're right. We're gonna continue this conversation. We're gonna talk about a few other things tonight. But if you want to get involved in the conversation, please do so. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949. Send us an email onair@joy.org.au,
or tweet us at Triple Bypass,
or you can find us on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy.
So we're going to come back. We're going to maybe a little bit more on Orlando. We're going to talk about a few other things as well. So stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass. You're on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Ricky Lee, and I'm proud to be heard on Australia's only LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
We are out loud and proud here on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I am your host, Anthony.
I'm Ruby.
And I'm James.
And we're all very bisexual.
Totally.
We're very bisexual and...
I'm half bisexual and the other half bisexual as well.
Right. All our halves are bisexual.
30% bisexual, 70% bisexual.
Right. guess who's halves are also bisexual? Sia, who we just heard. That was the greatest. And that was a... we could almost call it a tribute song for the Orlando victims.
I think if you see the video, there's no almost about it. It was definitely a tribute. I would recommend people look it up on YouTube because it's a Sia's video has become quite well known for the choreography. And it's a bunch of child dancers singing in a nightclub full of bullet holes. So... it's pretty direct in what it's about.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, speaking of tributes, pay tribute to one of the victims. And, I mean, we can mention the 49 victims who were killed and also the family members who were victims of their deaths and their murders, I should say. And I went through the list of names and I was looking at the list of names and it's pretty emotional to see the ages and the names and the... and then sort of, I guess I'm making assumptions about their ethnicity and their cultures what they did with their lives. And
the majority were Latin American. It was a Latin American gay club,
right?
I think. Yeah.
Well, there was one man. I thought I'd talk about one man just to pay tribute to him. His name is Javier Jorge Reyes. Apologies if I didn't pronounce that correctly. He was. I thought I'd choose him because I am his age. He was 40. And I thought about what it would have been like for him, a 40-year-old same-sex attracted man partying at a nightclub and sort of what life he had. And he was described by his friends as being an incredibly generous person. He'd light up the room whenever he'd walk in there. He had a flair about him. And he was apparently an incredible fashion designer and stylist for Gucci. This guy sounds like he would have worked so hard to get to the position that he was in, and for his friends and family to describe him in that way, he would have been the sort of guy I would have liked to party with.
Yeah.
I think it's really easy when these events happen or when any major attack or massacre happens to see numbers and just to kind of be like, okay, so 49 people killed. And then, of course, I think that's why it's really important that we do talk about who they were, that, you know, a lot of these people, I think the youngest was 19, wasn't
right.
it?
And the oldest was 50.
Yeah, so that was a whole range of people at all different points in their lives who'd all come there for different reasons and had come to Orlando for different reasons. Either they lived there or they were moving through. And one of the other things that became a big topic of discussion was that when a lot of their friends wanted to donate blood because there were people who were shot who did not die, gay and bisexual men couldn't donate blood, and they still can't donate blood. And there was that kind of hideously painful irony of knowing that there were men who'd gone to that club and who had friends die or be badly hurt, who wanted to help.
Right.
And they were, you know, the hospitals were calling out for blood.
Yeah.
They needed it, and they were turning away any man who had sex with another man.
Yeah, and it's especially, I mean, see, that sort of thing's so frustrating because, I mean, for me, I'm an O positive.
You know? Yeah, you're a universal donor.
I'm the old universal donor, you know.
And the thing is, they call it a gay blood ban as well, and it's not a gay blood ban.
Hmm.
James, are you gay?
No, I'm bisexual.
Well, you still can't give blood.
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh.
What a harmful way to prevent us from helping our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And it's literally spiting off your nose to hurt your, like, cutting off your nose to spite your face. Got my words mixed up there. But look, I suppose as we're moving on through, so Pride has rolled around again in the US and the UK. We've had our own Pride earlier this year and we were all there.
In a way it's kind of awful because I suppose every year is going to be
an
anniversary of Pulse, isn't it?
I think so, but it wasn't the first Pride a similar thing. The first Pride was a reaction against
this event happening constantly.
And, you know, I think, as I was saying before, the first Pride wasn't a march. It was a riot, I think people have been saying.
An uprising.
It was an uprising. It wasn't a party. There weren't police and Uber representatives and banks registered to march.
Right.
The B is for banks.
Right. Yeah, there wasn't any corporate involvement.
No, there was no pink dollars to splash around. And I think what's happening in the US recently was actually the day after the official Pride parade in WC, there was a Pride protest because the White House is refusing to acknowledge this is Pride Month.
Yeah.
Which was something set up by Obama. But what I suppose, and I know that while I was on my lovely holiday, you guys did touch on this, there was a bit of an issue with the UK.
Yes.
Where the UK, a woman basically found out that there were no bisexual organisations listed to march for London Pride.
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever. And so when she did say, can we put one in there? I would like the opportunity to register to be reopened. The response was very much of a, you're creating work for us and you're tiring out the long-suffering volunteers.
And basically you missed your window. You know, everyone had the same window and, you know, and you missed it.
And like, you know, this would constitute a special treatment. Now, of course, I think you guys did talk about, you know, whether it's the responsibility of this organisation to ensure that LGBT, yes, as it is officially recognised, of course, LGBTIQ, is actually shown, and that when someone's like, you're actually missing one of the letters. Now, in the United States, apparently the B is now for Babadook. Babadook. In case for all our dear listeners who don't know what the hell I'm talking about,
I'm learning this too.
You can message us and find out, or you can basically, what happened was that there is an Australian horror film. So this is an Australian story called The Babadook. And it is about this shadowy creature that comes out of a children's book. And it's all very creepy and it knocks on things and it has a top hat. And for some reason, when it was released on Netflix, they listed it under LGBT films. This was a few years ago. But for some reason, recently, people were just joking about the Babadook on the internet. And it just kind of picked up and people were drawing the Babadook wearing rainbow suspenders.
My favourite part of this is that the debate over whether the Babadook is LGBTI or not is a serious debate that has been going on and on and on for months.
But was it going on because it was accidentally listed?
Yeah, like people are sort of like, yeah, okay, we understand it was an accident, but is the Babadook queer? And that
he
actually
is now.
And people are actually, I think for some people, it's actually become a really important thing because the film deals with ideas of the things that we hide inside that we can't show. I mean, it centers around a woman who's a mother, played by the same actress. I've forgotten her name, but she's the same actress who plays Franny Fisher, so in a very different role. But, you know, she's really, really struggling as a single mum, and she tries to keep it all inside and hidden. And a lot of people are like, well, here's these themes of people hiding their true selves inside and something dark coming out because you can't express yourself and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and other people are saying no, and there's actually a genuine debate about it now.
Well, it's the internet. He will debate everything. The point is, Google Babadook Pride. It's pretty sweet. Get ready to get Baba shook. But one of the things I thought was quite funny was someone was like, I get it now. The B isn't for bisexual, it's Babadook. And someone's like, more bi erasure. Oh, gosh. So I was like, right. No, the B is for banks. Because there's more of those marching than there are of us.
Maybe he's the Babadook.
Well, he wears a top hat. I'm pretty impressed with that.
Yeah, no, he's a classy, classy horror dude. I was just happy that, you know, I think it's the most famous Australian now who's marched at Pride.
Well done. So he's a big, tall guy with bushy hair who walks around wearing a big black coat and a long scarf. Oh, shit, it's me.
Yeah. So let me ask, I mean, you know, Babadooks aside for a second, what happened, what was the outcome with the London Pride thing?
It looks like there has been a step back and they have allowed a group to jump in. It has taken, it caused, as these things do, it went viral, where basically once this had become an issue, there were a lot of debating on both sides. So there are some people, and because this is an argument that has come up before, some people were saying, look, bisexuals shouldn't go anyways, particularly because most of them are in heterosexual relationships and it's not for them. So this was quite a common thing. However, it was quite nice to look up and see that the majority of people were just like, this is bullshit, that's ridiculous. They need to be able to go. If we can have banks marching and police marching, if we've corporatized the hell out of this event, how can we cut out a group? And I suppose what has been interesting that's been coming from bisexual people is that they're saying that it's not so easy, you know, when a group's saying, well, no bisexual organization applied, if your LGBTI event has not encouraged bisexual people to apply, maybe you should look at your event.
Because it's not that hard to just make a little spreadsheet. And whenever somebody registers, you know, whenever a group registers at DeMarch, you put a tick in one of the columns. And when you sort of go, hey, this column's empty, I should probably do something about that. It's really, really easy. Yes. This is not a difficult challenge.
And event coordinators, this is their role, to go out there and to tap the people on the shoulder that they want marching in their events.
You know, and as rubbish as it is, in my personal opinion, that Mardi Gras in Sydney is you know, has been forcibly renamed Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. Right. London Pride is it's actually called LGBTI Pride. I can't remember exactly which combination of letters they use, but it's there in the name.
The B's there, though.
The B is there in the name.
The B's always there in the name. And it's amazing seeing, you know, people saying, like, you know, if you're bisexual, you know, or someone who's got a heterosexual partner shouldn't be at an LGBT event. It's like, you know what the B's for? Like, do you know what? It's Bumblebee. It's Babadook. It's,
right.
You know, it's everything but a bisexual person.
Yeah.
And look.
It could stand for bullshit, too.
Apparently it stands for ba-boom.
And there's a whole number of reasons why bisexual organisations struggle to get off the ground as much, but I think we can talk about that.
When we come back, we will come back. We're going to go to a few messages, but if you want to send us an SMS to get involved in the conversation tonight, you can do so on 0427JOY949. Send us an email on air at joy.org.au.
Or tweet us at Triple Bypass.
Or message us on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy. You can also check out our podcast on iTunes.
This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Hello, this is Margaret Cho, and you're tuned in to Joy 94.9 and listening via the Joy app.
This is live, Margaret, but thank you anyway. And
people could be listening through the app. Well, don't question Margaret.
I'm sorry, Margaret. She is a bisexual, and we're very proud to have her voice on our show. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I'm Anthony.
I'm Ruby.
And I'm James.
And we're here to bring the B back for the LGBT.
We're bringing B back.
We're so bi.
Yeah.
So bi.
Bringing back the B. There's a slogan for our new Pride March t-shirts.
Nice.
I want to actually meet a bisexual bear called Humphrey. Humphrey by Bear.
We've begun by talking about the fact that this is a year since the massacre in Orlando at the Pulse nightclub, where 49 people were murdered. We've also been talking about the issues that have been happening around Pride this year, where it comes to bisexual inclusion in the London's LGBT Pride march, which did not include any bisexual organisations. And what's interesting is, I think, as we've talked about this, is that this sparked a whole lot of discussion on the Twitterverse and on Tumblr and on all those online forums where everyone starts to feel that their opinions are very important. And one of the things that came out, and look, I'm not going to lie, I found it kind of upsetting. Obviously, like, I just kind of, luckily people like refuted it, but so someone, a group that has like a bi icon, as Pride, I'm quoting now, as Pride season rolls around, let me remind fellow het-partnered bisexual people, Pride isn't really for you, so don't act like you deserve to be there as much as lesbians and gay men. Really, just don't go at all, because there are no resources there that are for you. What are you proud of? Being in the relationship literally everyone expects you to be in, and that introduces no actual oppression into your life? But at the very least, if you must go, and God knows hell nor high water will stop you, please, please, please don't bring your het partner.
Yeah.
The people who liked this were Les Radical Feminists and Lipstick Lesbian, and I just on Tumblr, which was a bit sad.
Don't throw your phone, Ruby. Don't throw your phone. It's not your phone's fault.
No, it is. It's really upsetting, because it shows the level of ignorance and biphobia that we still have to grapple with today.
It does. And I suppose a part of me is like, this person's like, for those my fellow bisexuals in heterosexual relationships, I'm like, girl/boy, you can go to Pride. Pride is for you. And by the way, as far as there being no resources, there aren't any resources for any of us. Fun fact for you guys, neither Australia, the UK, or the United States has any government-sponsored resources for bisexual people.
And we did apply. The Bisexual
Alliance has applied.
Yeah, the bisexual community in Victoria applied for 3 grants at the recent funding round and didn't get any, sadly. So, but we'll keep trying, though, and we'll try again next year.
But I think this, Look, and I think, you know, I've heard it before with people, I've seen people on Facebook and people talking about marriage equality and someone saying straights and bisexuals are like, you know, flaunting marriage in our faces and talking about straight privilege. The thing is, if entering a heterosexual partnership truly absolves bisexual people of the disadvantages and marginalization that comes with a queer identity, that might be easier to accept, but it doesn't. Studies show we have worse mental health than gay and lesbian people and straight people. A 2010 study revealed that 61% of bisexual women have experienced rape, physical violence, or stalking by an intimate partner. 89% of this violence was conducted by male partners. That means that more bisexual women are sexually assaulted than straight women and lesbian women.
Yeah,
right. That's really worrying. And I guess, and you said by partners as well. So it happens in relationships where you would think you would feel safest. And I know that's true for domestic violence across the board for women, for cis,
and rape,
for cisgender straight women, for rape and sexual assault. But for bisexual women, it's happening at even alarmingly higher rates.
Yeah, and we've been talking about this before, and we are moving a little way a bit from pride. But it's something that I have been trying to understand myself. As a bisexual woman, I have been trying to actually understand why it is that when I tell a straight guy I'm bisexual, he'll be like, that's hot. Because I understand that he's thinking of a threesome, but I guess I've been curious, like, why is that where your mind goes? Why do you think that's immediately an option?
Or is he thinking of a threesome or just thinking of you, of being with another woman for his viewing pleasure?
Well, yeah, either, you know, one of those two things. And I suppose when I've been asking some of my straight male friends about this, my cis straight friends, one of them said something that really stuck with me, which was that my introduction to lesbians was porn.
That's right. And women attracted to other women is a porn thing for a lot of people.
It's the most searched term, I think, in most states in the United States, particularly in the South, which is hilarious.
And that's the funny thing, because in a lot of these communities, there won't be a lot of out queer people or out queer women. So the only time they'll see two women, you know, being intimate or, you know, affectionate with each other is, you know,
right,
in straight porn. But and it is straight
it
porn.
It is straight porn. And I suppose that's the issue, because that it's not really lesbian porn. It's bisexual porn in the way that those women, while hooking up with each other, are still available for men.
It's bisexual porn for the male, for the straight male audience.
Exactly. So, totally. But again, this is, and particularly now that we have high-speed internet and people are starting to watch porn from a very young age, this is how a lot of straight guys are learning about women hooking up with women. It's a sex thing.
Totally. And it's the only way it can be convenient or accepted or even sort of validated in some sick way to have women objectified, by women objectified, by people, period, but by women in particular objectified, because it serves them in some way. It needs to happen on their terms.
And then, of course, one of the side effects of that is that we don't see, I mean, queer men or bisexual men, even more so, they're just not depicted because they're not marketable, I suppose. And as a result, people just think that they don't exist. And we have all these stupid articles in idiotic blogs and magazines talking about, you know, how bisexuality doesn't exist in men.
Which, of course, it's existed forever. It just hasn't always been called bisexuality. But I suppose as a woman who, you know, especially when I was younger, had guys tell me how hot it was that I had a girlfriend, and again there was this inclination that it was in some way for them, and that means that when women are dating male partners, and I think there's understanding that there's like a hypersex, like you're hypersexual, or that you're, you know, you have a very high sex drive, or that you have a huge sexual appetite, and all these kind of expectations are placed on the minute that you say you're bisexual and they say that's hot, because they're immediately thinking of you in a heavily sexualized way and they're already fantasizing in particular ways that you don't know about. And and of course,
and that shapes their behavior and interactions and their motivations for interacting with you.
I've got a good comeback for you. You just say to them, well, as we all know, gender is performative, and dude, you're not my audience.
See, I just say, yes, actually, I've got a radio show about it. They're like, wait, really? I'm like, yeah, mate, you want to listen to my discourse?
But sexually objectifying by women is obviously very much connected to rape culture and the way that the role that porn plays into normalising the rape of women, male rape of women.
But the issue with sexual assault and with abusive relationships is that it tends to have isolation. So when bisexual women who are dating men or people who appear at glance as men, because of course when you see someone who you think is a woman and a man hooking up, you have no idea what the gender identities are, and you shouldn't make assumptions about that anymore, guys. We're past that point. Come on, we're getting there.
It's the 21st century.
Gender fluidity is a thing. But you know, there's this, if they're being told they're not welcome, it causes problems. So if we don't have spaces to go to that where we can actually openly talk about this, so yeah. If bisexual women are allowed in queer spaces only as long as they talk about same-sex partnerships, you're silencing us.
Right. Yeah, not much privilege in that, whoever sent that tweet. We are going to take a break. We're going to go to some messages. We are going to come back to, we've received a message. We'll come back and read that. We've got a track to play for you as well. So stick around. This is Triple Bypass. You are on Joy.
This is me, Melissa Etheridge. Keep Joy out loud and proud.
We're trying. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, and I'm Anthony.
I'm Ruby.
And I'm James.
And that was Grown Up Fairy Tales featuring
Chance the Rapper
by Taylor Bennett.
Who's his younger brother, who came out as bisexual on his 21st birthday. Power to you.
It's so fantastic. That's a challenging environment to be bisexual or just queer in general.
There's actually a few of them now. So Kevin Abstract, who I've played a few of his songs, he's come out. Frank Ocean, obviously, he's come out as well as bisexual with his song I See Both Ways Like Chanel. And I was just like, yeah, you do. Right. Yeah, you do.
Well, another bisexual who's come out has come out tonight to send us an email.
It's Jade. Listeners, Jade is someone who's messaged us every show because she loves us and we love her so much, and you can also message us, but we're going to read hers first. So, hi, sweethearts. Hey, Jade. Yeah, the B is in the acronym, but bisexuals are tolerated for their same-sex attraction, not accepted for their multigender attraction. Heteronormativity is replaced with homonormativity, and bisexuals just get new oppressors. Loving the show. Love and hugs, Jade.
New oppressors.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because when we think of people who belong to any kind of, you know, anywhere in the alphabet soup, you know, LGBTIs, that we think, well, we're excluded from power because we're part of a minority. But I suppose if you do manage to salvage a community and an identity, that is a form of power. You know, you're finding that security with people.
I think people of color
like
would definitely would definitely argue that the LGBTI community gives its fair share of oppression.
Yeah, right. So even if it's a smaller share of the power, to exclude people from it is a form of oppression, I suppose. And I have heard terrible stories. I mean, because I've been facilitating a bi discussion group for many years, and people who come along and say that they've been trying to find a new community because when they came out as bisexual in their lesbian or gay community, they were rejected and they lost their entire support network, lost a lot of friends, and that's pretty awful.
Look, it doesn't help that we, like, bisexual people have done a lot for the LGBTI community. The first, you know, the first brick thrown at Stonewall was by a bisexual trans woman of color. The first Pride Parade was organized by a bisexual woman. These are two monumental events in our history, both that have been catalysts by bisexual women, and yet, you know, these achievements are really not considered part of us. Like, we can watch, you know, whenever you see stories of LGBTIQ activism, they don't often mention the word bisexual. Even articles that will say in the body, they'll mention LGBT, they still say gay pride in the headline.
Yeah. Right.
And it's just kind of like instantly there's that disconnect and that kind of feeling of that's not mine, that's not for me. And I think I've mentioned before, I'd never been to a pride march until I joined Joy and went and felt like I had a group to go with, because it didn't feel like I didn't feel queer enough.
Well, that's a great point, because if it's there, if it's represented and you can see it, you can identify with it, then you sort of feel more motivated and encouraged to join in.
Well, see, this happened to me. I was in Los Angeles a few years ago, and I just happened to be there. I was there for business, but I happened to be there the weekend of the big LA Pride, which is West Hollywood. And a lesbian friend of mine said, hey, I'm going to go march at Pride. Do you want to come with me? I'm going to march with GLAAD. And I was like, oh, you mean that organization with GL and no other letters in the name. And I just said, look, I really appreciate you. And I know that on their website, they say that they represent the entire umbrella and blah, 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 blah. But I was just like, I'm going to go and find someone who actually like has my identity in the name. And I did. And I connected with an amazing new community. Oh, wow. And I'm now connected with this fantastic bisexual group over there. They sent over this gigantic Bi Pride flag that we've used in a couple of Melbourne Bi Pride marches. Bi Pride marches. Yes. Sorry, that was a fumble. Melbourne Pride marches. And so it's like my determination to not march with the people who call themselves just G and L sort of connected me with this amazing community.
Totally. And I think that's why we have this show, because we want queer listeners who tune into Joy, the greatest radio station in Australia and the world, in my opinion.
One of only three LGBTI radio stations that broadcast 24 hours a day.
Great. And the only one bisexual program here in Australia. And people can tune in and hear that there's a bisexual program and get that feeling you had down at West Hollywood as you were jumping up and down.
Or they can find our podcast as well. Like, you know, we have people coming in to find just to hear a bunch of us talking. So we are heading into the last few weeks of Radiothon, guys, and we had our Radiothon show just before I went on my holiday. And so, you know, we had, I think, 9 or 10 bisexual
something
people.
Something like that. A lot of people.
In this little studio.
It was more people than we had microphones.
Many more. That was fun to panel. And I had a lot of, and so my friends who came on, I had one of them say to me that he had never been in a room with just bisexual people, just talking about bisexual issues. And he was just like, I'd never known that that could be a thing I could have. And I think statistics suggest that we might make up half the total LGBT spectrum. Sexuality, not gender. So that there are, and, you know, that despite that only about 30% of us come out. But when, like, you know, and obviously if you don't feel that there is a space for you, it is harder for people to make that big step. So just so everybody, just so you know, there is a space for you here. There will be a space for you at Pride with us. This year we got to wear T-shirts that one of our listeners had actually designed for us. By the by, I'm bi.
Right. Great top.
Great top.
There is a photo of that on our Facebook page.
There is. Well, we felt that, you know, because unless you're literally holding the hand of someone who presents as a woman, someone who presents as a man, people don't know what to call you. So it's like, it's on my T-shirt. Just look at the T-shirt.
Right.
I'm not gay. I'm not straight. I'm bi.
But, and I know we're 6 months out, but we do want to invite and welcome other bi people and our allies to come and join us. You know, the place is there for you.
And we want you to feel that there is a space for you. And the more there are of us and the more we have that sense of community, the better it is, better we'll feel, the better we'll handle ourselves, the better we'll understand our issues and each other, hopefully, that we'll see a drop in our mental health statistics.
Yeah. True.
Because that kind of isolation, that feeling that you're not included in any group for something that, again, is not your choice, but even if it is something that, you know, is something that is just a part of you, that's not right. And every LGBT person knows what that feels like. And so for all of our beautiful allied listeners out there as well, I would really ask that you can just make an effort. Don't just assume that bisexual people will be able to jump in themselves.
Right.
Because we need a space before we'll take that jump, and there often hasn't been a space cleared. And we won't jump across a cliff if the other side's full of people.
And see, this is part of the problem why, I mean, I don't know if this is specifically what happened in London, but it does happen that we bisexuals may feel it difficult to speak up, may find it difficult to register for an event or something like that, just because they feel like there is a sense of hostility or a lack of acceptance. So, you know, make it explicit that we're accepted, that we're welcome, and we'll come.
There's been a lot of that on Twitter, by the way, so thanks for all those beautiful Twitter people.
Yep, make it explicit. And we are making things explicit here on the show. This is Triple Bypass. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Fun people, fun shows. Joy 94.9.
It is, and this is Triple Bypass, Joy 94.9, and we have almost come to the end of our show.
I need to ask, am I weird? Is it strange of me to dance along to the music in the CSAs?
James, yes. But I love
Ruby.
It. I love it.
That's why we love you.
Thanks. Thanks for bringing us back in, Anthony. We are heading off, guys, wrapping up another wonderful Tuesday night with you all. But I would recommend, if some of this stuff has made you feel a little depressed, like there isn't a lot of love out there, check out the hashtag StillBisexual on Twitter. There's a lot of support's been coming out. And that's been part of this discourse that has happened around London and around this question of, well, actually, now that we're mentioning it, should bisexuals go to Pride? Because there's a resounding yes.
Totally.
And not just from bisexuals saying, yeah, we get to go wherever the hell we want, because we do. But there is a lot of people saying, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. You know, you are not who your partner is. We should be open to this. You're welcome. Jump in there. So keep that in mind too, guys. Yeah.
Also, if you do want to have a chat with some like-minded people, go along to the monthly bisexual discussion group, which you can find at bi-alliance.org, and click on the events tab, and there's some information on that. It happens every month in Melbourne.
Yep, great, groups, get along to the Bi Alliance. And if you want to have a confidential telephone conversation with a counsellor, you can contact QLife on 1800 184 527.
Look after yourself, guys, and we'll try and look after you too. This has been another wonderful show. We've discussed some pretty heavy stuff.
Fairly heavy stuff.
It has, you know, so let's again just remember it has been 1 year since the massacre in the Pulse nightclub in Orlando where 49 LGBTI people were killed.
Yes, and if I can encourage all our listeners to jump online and check out some of the names and connect with some of their stories, really get to sort of remember and pay tribute to who they were.
Remember the people rather than a number or statistics. Right. They were all individuals.
And remember, guys, we can do everything. We've come a long way. There's a long way to go, but we're all in this together. I just quoted a whole bunch of songs there from Hairspray. But, you know, love that show. Love you guys. We'll be back next week.
Yes. And this has been Triple Bypass. We will catch you guys next Tuesday night, 9 p.m.
Much love.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.